Item number four.
From the Chief Judge, requesting authorization to receive and disperse funds in the amount of $25,000 from the Wisconsin Department of Justice for services and activities of Milwaukee County Drug Treatment Court in 2011.
So this was really an unexpected, unasked for, unsolicited Christmas present from the Attorney General. Late last year, his office settled a case that included what's called a Cypre award, which means basically that the paying party, in this case the defendant, agreed to pay an additional sum of money separate and apart from the cost of the lawsuit or whatever was being settled in the lawsuit, to be used for good purposes, if you will. In this case, the Attorney General decided to make a series of grants or disbursements to the drug treatment courts throughout the state. Every other county except two that had drug treatment courts got $10,000. Milwaukee County and Dane County got $25,000. So we have, sitting on my desk upstairs, is a check from the Attorney General's office in the sum of $25,000 payable to our drug treatment court to be used to expand the services of the drug treatment court. And so this item is on here to ask for your permission to receive that money and disperse the funds consistent with those directives from the Attorney General's office. And anticipating your question of how we're going to spend it, the drug treatment court team is putting together a sort of a wish list of places they would like to spend the money that is consistent with that. And while this is not a definitive list as yet, because I haven't signed off on it, some of the things that they want to use the money for include paying for mental health treatment for some of the participants, set up some sort of a peer mentoring program, which is sort of like an aftercare, if you will, program to keep people on the path that we think we've set them on in the drug treatment courts. There is a bit of a cost in enrolling in Badger Care that some of the participants don't even have the funds to do that, so this would be able to assist them in enrolling in Badger Care. And then if you're familiar with our drug treatment court, we have a fishbowl that has little incentives in it, little $10 gift cards from this place or that place, that they get incentives for doing things right or doing things well in the program. So it would some of the money would be used to supplement the fishbowl. That fishbowl, by the way, is to this point is pretty much been filled with money from donors. It's not county money going into that, but people donate money to that program when they hear about it, and then the drug court team goes out and buys some, you know, CDs or gift cards, things like that. And then the balance, if we haven't spent the money on all those things, some other additional costs that are involved are we put on a little commencement ceremony with a cake whenever we do a graduation for three or four or five people, some other activities related to that. But that's sort of a general list at this point. They are having a meeting at the end of the month to sort of give me a more specific list, and then I will pick from that list something totaling $25,000 once I have the authority to receive it and disperse it.
Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The philosophical underpinnings I think that are expressed in items 2, 3, and 4 are reflective of a growing consensus and finding favor in some surprising quarters, from my view. I was heartened and admittedly amused to find this article in the Milwaukee Journal. I provided copies on the table there for anyone who wants to read it, co-authored by Newt Gingrich, which calls for implementing these kinds of measures to save the extraordinary costs that our society has encountered over the past many years since the 90s and the lock everyone up movement of the law and order days back then. These folks who advocated that now seem to understand what their zealous efforts to imprison people resulted in terms of costs. And now, if you read the article, they would like to lead us in a direction opposite of that which they once so passionately imposed upon us. Now, I find that amusing in some sense, but heartening in others, because the realities have sunk in. The costs of incarcerating people unnecessarily have become crystalline in their clarity. The only regret here, of course, is that they didn't listen to the people who have been advocating these programs for a generation prior to the imposition of the law and order movement. So I am at once encouraged and also informed by this process. Sometimes we have to struggle through some very difficult learning experiences to arrive at solutions that work in terms of combating recidivism. And I think all three of these items speak directly to attempting to do that.
Supervisor DeVore.
Yeah, I just have one last question that you may not have the answer to, but it was related to this article. The statement in the article is that, according to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, half the prisoners released in 2010 or whatever are expected to be back in prison within 3 years. Do you have any idea whether that's true in Milwaukee County?
We do have a study from a year and a half ago. Is it part of the Justice Reinvestment Fund? I think where we have some data on that. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, Supervisor, that many of the people who are going back to prison are going back not because they've committed a new criminal offense, but because they've committed a rules violation of their parole or extended supervision. They violate some rule, and they get revoked, and they get sent back to prison. That's where most of our returning prisoners, if you will, are coming from, not new crimes. And that was a study of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin situation. I don't believe it broke out Milwaukee County versus the rest of the state, but since mm-hmm. Milwaukee County makes up the lion's share of the folks in our state prison and the people going back to the state prison, I think those statistics would certainly hold true. I'm not prepared right now to tell you what percentage that is. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have that. I could certainly get that to you. Mm-hmm. But it sort of goes back to what I said earlier this morning about the Justice Reinvestment Initiative grant that we're applying for would help us cost out some of these programs in terms of not only what it would cost to institute programs like this, like we've talked about earlier, not so much this item, but also what kinds of savings could you expect to achieve from that? And then if you're successful and you get funded, the money would help provide the seed money or the startup money to institute those programs, and then their continued support would come from the savings generated. So the money would really get us going, and that's always the trick around here, as we all know. We can have the best program in the world, clearly going to save us money, but if you can't afford to start it, you can't afford to get the savings. So that kind of program would help us get the money to start it, and that's what we're looking for. And drug treatment court is certainly in that vein. So if that answers your question.
It does, and I would appreciate a copy of that, because I think that's kind of starting to look at that piece is not only appropriate for you folks, but it's appropriate for us as a committee to try and assist in identifying options and then trying to work on some solutions that might meet that initial barrier of cost effectiveness, or at least be able to convince this committee, and then we can work on the board as well. So thank you very much.
We have a motion for approval.
Yeah. Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor DeBrun moves approval. Any other comments, questions, or concerns about item number 4? Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
DeBrun?
Aye.
Cesari?
Aye.
Rogers?
Aye.
Jerson?
Aye.
Sanfilippo?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
6 ayes, 0 noes, and item is approved.
Thank you very much.